Okay, well, if there's no further comment on that, then let's move along here. Jedi had a link he had sent earlier. Maybe we can have a look at that. I see that Brigitte has showed up as well. We'll get to that a bit later. Okay, well, we can have a look at the see if I can just get the image itself here. Just bear with me a second. There we go.
Hello.
Hi, Jenna.
This was one of the pictures that I presented in the Rainbow Body episode, let's say. When we are not able to do, transmute a field into matter state, then we could just try to do it the opposite way, which is what we usually do with the solve. So we're not going towards coagula, creating materiality, but converting it to energy fields. So unpacking. Now my question was, what is happening in this kind of reaction? So we understand that there are fields around taking place, moving from one pole to the other, let's say, two kinds of densities. And within this field, a third object, which is the object that is going to transmute, is in between, is absorbing and is changing its state. So, let's say from the point of view of creating a matter, so you need, if you want to hold water, you put your hands together. So this is the idea. And so if you want to compact snow, you build a pressure, and so you obtain a snowball. Now these are vectors, and by adding this kind of surrounding field or holding vertically, here you have two kinds of vectors taking place. Now there would be a third vector and fourth. So you have three dimensionality and time. Now, if you put four together working at the same time, that's a quaternion, you're going to create matter. If you know what you're doing and how you are applying this kind of, pressures. From a plasmatic point of view, from a magnetically, of course, gravitationally. And there are two options that you have then, considering these two opening up. And so you have four at the same time. It's one field, but is subdivided in four ideal directions, movements, frequency states, oscillations. So this is the kind of push or pull, and the object in the middle then it shall transmute. Sometimes it takes 1 day, 20, 2 years. It depends. It's the amount of fields you are using. So if you want to reach this knowledge, you have to practice this kind of research, let's say, the opposite way. Leonardo da Vinci says that we work with complex kind of substances. We do not create the simple ones. It's given that we can play with the complexity by adding and producing other kind of structures on top of the bricks, fundamental bricks, let's say. And here the question is, when is this change of state going to happen? And would I, let's say, be able to go the opposite way by mastering the process? So one way is to just to think about transforming heat and smoke into wood. The amount of particles, of changes, of transmutation is so huge that you would need really a quantum calculator to go back to the original state. But probably within a very easy kind of multiplicative process, like fullerenes, once you start producing the same unity, you would be able to create billions of them. And so this is quasicrystals, depending on the quantity of amorphous, you have quasi-matter. And it's fine, because it's still something that you can produce by working on energy fields. And in this image, nothing happened for 7 days. So the field was holding. And in this image, you see various elements taking place, but there is a white column on the right, which is a normal, let's say, condensation of zinc, but in a vertical position, so a white gans. Then there is this peculiarity. There is a kind of fluorescent substance dripping. And it is a singularity. And the red kind of tree that you see, it's the iron nail that was in the middle, that lost state of coherence and opened up. And this happened within a short time, seventh day, let's say, about one and a half hours, opening up totally. So it's the mechanism. So the loss of currents and this kind of magnetic positioning that is just shifting and offering a new position to that kind of matter that is free to go where the fields are pulling and need it. So it's the element that is freed. from the shape that we gave it. And we use fire, we melt, and then we put it in a mold. We obliged it in with various kinds of process to stay in that position for a period of time. And it goes back to its original state of the element, free to move. So probably in the moment this change takes place, it is there that you have to find out exactly how the fields are behaving around this. So four of them are taking place, pushing and pulling and circulating, spinning, moving. So according to the vibration, to the phase, to the density, pressure, heat, then you obtain matters. Or you can melt them, or break them, or disaggregate. And so by using these two kind of on the sides plates, we know that these two plates are going to disaggregate something that is in between. It's a kind of process that allows opening up matter in a very, very fast way, let's say, without requiring heat and offering the possibility to easily collect this elemental kind substance, iron in this case. It looks red, rusty. So it's a process where you have these fields acting upon. So if two fields can disaggregate, two fields can produce this. Okay. This object, this kind of metal, for example. And if there are amino acids, of course, two fields, male and female, are going to produce life.
How you want to structure your...
What are you saying, Brad? Can't hear you.
Structure depends on the phase, on the position of the atoms, on the substance, on the elements. And it has to do with the cymatic, quantum cymatic positioning. If it holds, it is what we call the elements. If it doesn't hold and it is a temporary passage, it's isotopes. So it shall create transient elements.
That's stupid.
They are stable from the position of your time threshold, but not according to nature. It's a continuous cascade. Your position says this is a mineral, this is a crystal, this is liquid, this is gas. But it has to do with the time variable. Considering your density. So in so many ways, probably the movie Contact and wormhole machine with three rings, at least three rings, but we could go up seven of them, spinning at various different axes, it would create this kind of wormhole passage or a stargate or a different density, a state of vibration. So as a gyroscope is going to create this kind of inertial kind of push, then if you imagine two of them working at the same time, three or four or five, then you would see levitating matter. That is a consequence. So they had to attach this machine with the strong chains because it would just move away, go through the wall. But that is because there is no control of it. Once you create the kind of machine, and then you need to control it. But the concept is there, the principle. So this kind of gyroscope positioning within axis. It is magnetical and dielectric. And then you have more. The way the hyperboloid moves, toroidal. So you have to consider four different curvatures, moments, directions. Although it's all one, that is going to condensate or to lose its shape. Structurally, this kind of buckyball is the dome that we are creating. And so at the atomic level, Jani is working with the atoms, creating a nanostructure. And he is behaving as a nano worker, creating this harmonic structure that is usually present at a very low level, but he is creating the harmonic of this structure. Although within the wood you see this amorphous quasi-crystalline state of SP3 glued together. In fact, that is the same antenna. So it's a confirmation or a link to the kind of dimension that is down below at a higher level. So it's a connection to that kind of phase. Receiving. So the idea that within the movie you have this three rings moving in not really opposite directions, because within a three dimensionality and consideration of time, so there is a speed and there is amount, there are angles. Considering all this, then it could, within a right phase, produce a quantum leap. With the wrong one, you have the loss of stability And so the machine breaks down because of the friction or the pull. Let's say it would lock into a magnetic kind of position where the three rings stick together, and then all that energy just froze it out of balance. And you destroy the experiment. But at the same time, we can do this with fields, and so we could use sound or light to produce the same kind of condensation or disgregation of matter. And we know this because it's applied in modern sciences. I think it's just to meditate or concentrate or place a focus the moment this loss of structural loss of coherence happens. And if you apply a lot of energy, you see the plates just disappearing, disaggregating. And that is pushing too hard towards a transmutation. But if you give it time, even without giving energy, because of the differential, then this is going to take place. And within this very slow process, adding a third element in between and studying what is going to happen there, it shall give you the answer within a plasmatic kind of understanding by looking at the circulation of the fluids, for example, the presence of the dust, of the gases, the heat, the phase, the frequency, the absorption. Well, this has to do with this moment. Once you have this, let's say the variables, just try to invert. So the soup is going to work the opposite way. You are creating a planet, starting from the light of the sun, the giver, and condensating it. It's a natural process, just enabling it, understanding how the fluid, the liquid. Now, the idea of bricks, for example, we have to stick them together. We do this by hand, and we think in squares. Now, if you imagine a fluid element, something like a sticky sand, you just need a pump, and you can create cylinders just by moving it around in circles in a spiraling way, and you create a tower. Introducing the idea of liquidity. Now, if you move on to gasidity or plasmidity, so it's the same kind of process, either a coating of a substance or, energetically speaking, a plasmatic field that is going to produce this, in fact, nanostate gas, which then condensates into sort of a liquid and then a matter. And then quasi-crystals, quasi-matter, and then it is matter. So the moment I obtain from a differential something else, then this is coming or it is originated by. If it's coming from the fields, from the sky, then it's received. If you are pulling in, if you are pushing, then it can be produced by this inverse process that then is moving a transient isotope to the next level, rising or lowering it, which is the kind of exercise we follow when we want to transmute one element into the other, the next one. But we could even think about harmonic positioning of elements. And so it would jump an octave, for example, and not only move to the nearby, let's say, position gradient in a scalar way, but jumping. And so that is a scalar, but within harmonic. And then there is another kind, which is following a quantum cymatic, and the expression of this is within fractal. And so it goes on. By controlling magnetic light, you would be able to obtain a fractal kind of image. And within nature, you see this in cauliflower. So it's a simple equation from a fractal point of view. It is the expansion of this field growing and following a pattern, fern, whatever. And within our mind, the same thing happens. And so we create reality by using this kind of differential, positive and negative, benefit, egoic, selfish, or giving, sharing, offering, expanding magnetically. So you see the same thing happens within in a metaphysical way and outside. So outside you have a panorama of a reality that is created plenty of times by the projection of other minds that turn this field into a manifestation. Within yourself, once you master this position of being the element and creating this differential, then you are the transmuting iron nail, for example, and so your state is going to change. And you become a transient from the image you had of yourself to the next one. This happens continuously. It's the focus, and it is the way how to live, to transform, to carry on, and to see within ourselves. This is to look for the inscapes of counter space. And that dimension, which is a metaphysical one, is balanced by the physicality. And together they make one. So it's the kind of bubble, and it is holding because it's the water. You put together your hands, and here is the water. Holding it. Let's say the amount of space, the internal, it's in fact expanded to the dimension of the universe. You see, the narrower is the internal field, the smaller it is, then the dimension of your universe is a tiny one. The opportunities, changes, what you do. So within wisdom, we open up in a correct way, and the universe becomes a multiverse. There's no limitation to the dimensions. And because we like structures, and so platonic, solid kind of structures, and this one we have position with five pentagons and hexagons, and we obtain a dome with a cubic positioning, for example. Expanding dimensionally the same structure within the inscapes. So meditating within the hypercube, you move to second dimension, third dimension, fourth dimension. Within a 12th dimension hypercube, you clearly see that there are 4,096 nodes, which are the answers. So the degree, let's say, the knowledge you have, it's immense compared to a third dimension. But at the same time, whilst you are building or drawing or creating the model, you find out that there is a phase, a curvature, and there is a position where you see that the quantum is there, is present, oscillating from a rarefaction to a compression. And so everything is holding because of this dipole, which creates the unity. So you can create matter, or you can adjust yourself. And that is a position where, in fact, you are manifesting a change. And this takes time with the transformation within the experiment, or you have to repeat the experiment billions of times to see how the behavior changes, or if the singularity occurs. Whilst within, you need to use kind of a microscope or enlarge the picture and catch the moment. Automatic responses take place, and the thought is originated and moves rapidly towards the consequence of the action. So it's the sparkle, and it is the path it uses. So imagine a three-dimensional circuit, which is in fact not three-dimensional, of course, because brain is far more complex than we believe it is or see. So within a four-dimensional, and you see these neurons and memories resonating, and within a meditation, you catch the moment. It's 1/1000th of a second, where the automatism, the kind of instinctive, let's say, but it is a memory, action, reaction, answer is taking place. You catch it, and once you hold it, you see where this goes. You can slow it down, and then you apply a different kind of angle, phase, and you are able to change the position of this field into another one, and that is the change of state. And so you master your organism. Within your mind, within thoughts. And then, once you are able to do this, it goes into your physical body. Then it expands the universal to the multiversal. It goes towards the four elements, five elements, matter states. And then you have affinity or resonance to your specific matter, which is, it could be water, fire, earth, air, ether. And then there you expand the ability to bend it, to play with it, to play with clouds, and give them a specific shape or manifest your image or see beings that live there. And because you are able to play with them, enjoy that moment. That is air bending or fire bending or etc. So those who are able within the understanding and a resonant sympathy to enter this particular state are able to transform or transmute. We are naturally linked to one of the elements, and then we find out how to enter the other ones. Sometimes we react to them, we dislike, or we are not able to deal. But that is because of a limited position. Sometimes it is prejudice within culture, or because there is no affinity. And this means that there is no balance within our position, even within physicality. There is too much or of some element or a lack of it. Once we are able to enjoy the bending of the elements, then that is sort of a freedom, let's say, not considered from this material point of view, a power. In fact, in teachings, it is said that you shouldn't follow siddhis. So these special gifts, you shouldn't work to produce these kind of effects. Lose your time with phenomena of this kind. You should try to avoid a circus, but to be one with the process. And so when needed, assume this kind of transient configuration and come back. So you die and you are here again. Nothing happened. You could either call it a state of mind or presence. And this transient, it's only a wind blowing, goes through, and you're back. So the nail is, in fact, this tree opening up, and so sharing all the atoms that we forced together in that shape to hold two objects. So the entire process is to block something. And here is finally free to move, to open up. So it is the idea of a nail and the idea of the hammer hitting it, forcing it into. from a plasmatic point of view, it's a different angle. From a magnetical point of view, you don't need nails. Matters stick together if they have the right phase density, position. We could even use the idea of a Velcro at a nano level. Quasicrystal. So it is assuming, becoming, letting go, conforming, acting, changing, by accepting this kind of duality that helps this change within a matter state understanding of things from A to B, from B to A, a process, logic, the right moment. And there it is. Habit or vice or addiction, these are placed within the inscapes of mind next to specific emotions that are memories and force fields within a psychological understanding of the origin of a moment. Then you go back to the emotional state and field of the first imprinting, kind of Pavlovian push that create this unbalanced position. And so the memory is there. And by acting on this field, not repeating it, not memorizing and living it again and again, but solving it within your position, you need pardon, because usually the world, when we are pure, acts upon us, and so it forces a change, something. So you need the pardon because you are soft and the world is hard. In fact, you are a child or a spirit. And then you understand things from a different point of view and you become harder, stronger. So you forgive and you learn how to balance fields. So it is internal and external. If you find solution within, you find the solution outside. It's a balanced process. It's physical and metaphysical at the same time. So just turn around things inside out. You see a duality in a different position, different mood, different emotional state. Forget it. Tomorrow you give the exam. Just go there and just say what you, and it's fine. You don't need to force it to consume your brain's gray matter. Presence. And so the whole idea of billions spent to repeat the same kind of experiments billions of times. One intuition is enough. And it happens in counter space. It doesn't happen outside. Most sciences, they belong to this dimension. Then they are confirmed by the structure and matter and the opportunities and the creation of So this is to be able to deal with what is forcing or holding down what has a specific gravity that does not allow, and open up to a magnetic position that is a flow, and then within this stream of consciousness, bending it towards a free expression that is still following a quantized rhythm, which is the heartbeat. And so it knows where to stop within this fort of being able to do or considering the freedom of action, because there is the responsibility of the body, of the fields that you are considering, of the beings. And this is saying that you become airbender, waterbender, within, outside, without damaging, for example, climate. Because so you do not require this kind of change in the body of greater beings, because it's like disturbing the sleeping dragon by creating, you know, itchy kind of feeling. And then you force the dragon to scratch his back. And this is because we do not consider that it is living. Being that is going to react to these kind of behaviors. So the moment you see that it's going in the wrong direction, you stop, you sit, you think twice, you breathe, you reconsider, you connect. Then, once you know that it is not poisonous, you eat. If it is toxic, you don't eat it, you don't touch it. It depends on the position. You assume it's asana, it's a balanced one, you practice it. So I would say that the best moment to find out how this change, this field is acting, is within counter space. And exactly momentum. We could use a device as a tiny one. We see that it's pointing towards this bottle of Gans water. But there are bottles on the ground. And this kind of instrument appears to point exactly towards the bottle that is on the table, but it is not considering the two bottles that are on the ground, and then we put these bottles on the table, and it's still considering only horizontal dimension. So within this exercise, then we could say that the emanation of the water, of plasmatic water, is purely horizontal. Is this true? Because the instrument is not pointing towards the other two bottles on the ground, but it is pointing, going, moving towards the bottle that is on the table. So, at least we could find out the kind of vector or field that is moving, curving, or pointing to in a vertical, horizontal, longitudinal kind of position, or even a spinning field that you can see with a vortex apparatus. And so it's going to react, because they both spin, and so it's going to match a synchronous kind of harmonic, and you see that it is affecting the nearby instrument. So these are very simple instruments to produce, but let's see this kind of effect in a three-dimensionality, or in a kind of environment where even numbers are not important, although they are not important, they could be. But here we see that there is a field pushing or pulling, so attracting to a midway, let's say, point of balance in between. Thank you very much. Love you.
Thank you, Jedi. Thank you. Amazing. Amazing.
All right, very good.